We want to try and ground this. There are a lot of people who claim to be in touch with another level of consciousness that are, in fact, charlatans. And that's one of the problems that, in a certain sense, pollutes those who might be really legitimate channels or legitimate sources of this kind of energy. And but maybe we could address that question at the outset. Why are so many people skeptical of the idea that there is another level of consciousness than that which is the normal one in which we perceive?
Because it's an easy issue to be skeptical about, because it's the one mystery that nobody has any real valid evidence of, mm-hmm. the other dimension, life after death. But we also have charlatans in every other field in the information society, in science, medicine, in entertainment, in commercials, advertising. So the only reason it gets labeled with the dark sign of charlatanism is because it's the one that nobody can really be an authority on.
I suppose that's true. We live in a world where you have stars in baseball and in basketball, and Michelangelo was better than most of the average guys who did sculpture, and that kind of thing you can understand. There are some people who are really legit, are really authentic. The term is overworked, but stars, as far as it, we have had a Buddha. We have had, because it ties into that realm, we've had Jesus Christ. We've had the prophets.
We've had Muhammad. All of the great
and
prophets.
We're into
working with God and the angels and communicating that God is within us and we can manifest these miracles that they do.
Right. And they're talking about another realm and so forth. Then we can get into things like William Blake and poets and people that have a certain kind of divine kind of case. We call Shakespeare the divine one.
Inspiration.
Inspiration, which is something that, again, that could be understood. But this idea of another realm is one that both of you are familiar with, and certainly we're going to be talking about it now. And where do we bring it into the modern? Who are some of the major people, let's say, this century that have been major voices that were, let's say, the big league prophets, as it were, the big league people who really bring an authenticity to it rather than just a lot of amateurish.
Everything evolves, and prophecy is always subject to change. And when a group mind shifts a prayer into something that it's like Michael Gordon Scallion, Earth Changes Report, Ruth Montgomery, Joyce Brown, there's tons of books and channels and mediums that have come out with new books that talk about ecological devastation and the spiritual realm of things and how we can work with them in our lives. And what happens to us when these books get published and popular, people read them, then suddenly a million minds are praying to shift conscious out of that, and therefore then it evolves. And that's the beauty. We have free will. God isn't a dictatorship of good. God has given us the ability to shift and change, and with a thumb we can make things happen, and that's the beautiful thing. And something I wanted to address earlier when you were saying about the people poo-poo this is, that's a blessing, because, you see, we're born in ignorance, because if we're really aware of all our past life, reincarnate lifetimes, and we're aware of the divine mind that we have access to as spiritual beings, we'd be overwhelmed, and the game is over. It's like if we're playing cards and we all have our hand, we're playing poker, the fun is, because I don't know what you have, you don't know what I have, and then we buy for the pot. But once I'm totally aware of your hand, my hand, the game's over, and it's no fun. So living in the third dimension, we have a contract with ignorance. And therefore, even though people in the heart know the truth and resonate to these wonderful channeled books and spiritual mediums and psychics that have the message of God coming out, they prefer to say, nah, forget about it, or just, steer away from it, because all of a sudden there's a responsibility that takes on a sense of the game's up.
A sense of scientific skepticism, for one thing. Scientists will be skeptical of people who are going to do tricks, and there have been people throughout the millennia who have done tricks and so forth, and then there's skepticism of that, perhaps healthy skepticism in a certain sense. And then the difference.
But he's saying it's human. Well, it's God divine human to be stubborn and filter consciousness. That's a human gift, a necessary condition of this reality. Okay. But God supports our disbelief of him.
Can we separate these things if we can? Talking esoteric and so forth.
That's esoteric, what I just said, right?
I know it is. And if God is in all of this, there's that kind of thing. But can you separate it from the traditional, religious traditions that we have? And most of those...
No, you can't.
From those that are the modern mystics. We now have this Sylvia Brown, best-selling book on the New York Times, bestseller list, and she can do wondrous things that they can do. There have been other people who have been able to do things with Ouija boards and things like that, but from the tradition of religiosity, most people claim to be either Christian, Judaic, or have a religious faith, or a sense of monotheistic,
which
or,
comes out of the alphabet.
Or one other kind of thing. But do we separate the religious traditions with some of these other mystic or psychic things, or are they of the same? And how do we deal with the two? And is the one a heresy of the traditions that are tried and true, and there are people that are, you know, you
understand
what I'm
getting at? Let me just answer that. Yeah. I bring in, the point is the cultural medium is the difference. Monotheism comes out of writing and the phonetic alphabet and then the Gutenberg galaxy.
Right.
All right. Before that was the common occult world, the in the pre-literate world, pre-alphabetic. And the post-alphabetic world, this electronic world, reintroduces this. Blavatsky comes up with the telegraph.
Madame Blavatsky.
Yeah. And a good book to run through the history of this is Eric Davis's Technosis, where the telegraph inspired all kinds of crazy mystical visions and also an interest in the other dimension. That was a post-print, post-literate phenomenon. So religion, if we define that as monotheistic, then it is a product of a different medium of communication than the pre- and post-literate.
Yeah, we don't do that. It's Western monotheism, and then you have the Hindu and the Vedic and the Buddhist type traditions, which have a different kind of take on the evolution of consciousness.
Yes.
Because the West thought that consciousness came out of material, and
they
the conscious thought was a priori.
They come out of iconographic, which does have more amelioration and resonance with what we call the occult and the esoteric.
Yeah.
They adapt to that more.
Now, we separate the religious, Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, from the esoteric and
the
occult. And why do they call it a cult? Do you understand what I'm trying to get at here?
These guys were gifted, enlightened beings that God spoke to them and taught us how we can manifest the miracles that they made and taught us the simple way. And after they died, a myth and legend was sprung around them, religion was created, and religion is discipline. Basically, religion is community, gathering together and worshiping together and singing, and it's a social thing. Religion is a discipline of the social norm and creating ways of worship and prayer.
Well, I think there's a theology and a system of divine theology, and there was a...
Theology
was a,
is analogy.
That was the basis of the medieval curriculum.
Right, but
the
community is analogy.
Uh-huh.
Theology is analogy, a metaphor to unite a community. So community is analogical.
Yeah. And religio, I think, means to hold. I think it has a concept.
Yeah, analogy holds together.
That Latin, to hold.
Religare, to recapture. Ligare is to tie. Get back to God.
But we get back to it. I mean, what is posited against this kind of, let's say you call it a cult, we're going to lack that, we're going to, Jesus is a cult?
No, there's no cult involved. Cult is a cult. That's
but
something else.
And so is the opposite of that would be, or the, we haven't had the Enlightenment, and there were people who were living, with mystery and with sort of not understanding things. We now understand things increasingly with intellectual understanding of what's going on. We know what DNA is. We know what causes lightning. We know about electricity. We've learned these things.
And also,
we've had to live in mystery in the past. So we're coming out of a, James Joyce called history a nightmare, from which he's attempting to awaken, of ignorance in a sense. We're now understanding it.
Yeah, the
and the modern scientific view would be that these are mystery things that people had to deal with because there was no other way of dealing things because we were just dead ignorant of the major
processes.
But
science doesn't agree. Every 18 months, everything that science said is erased due to Moore's Law. We change that fast now, so nobody can claim a monopoly anymore, and that's why people are exploring other avenues of techniques of understanding, so that science, the repeatable experiment, is just a minority player now.
And agnostic scientists have a tremendous spirituality and faith in God that they don't define.
Uh-huh.
And from decades now, long ago, the CIA and the KGB have been experimenting with a psychic phenomena and parapsychology as a practical means in warfare and espionage.
Uh-huh.
So and I was part of that. That was my background.
Yeah. They've been doing these things, and you had Carillion photography coming out and all kinds of things that were coming out of the technology and that. And
so the science community definitely accepts parapsychology and psychic phenomena. And there's just too many ghost stories that abound in every culture and every town and every part of history throughout the world. Ghosts exist, spirits exist, and God exists. Whether you like it or believe in it or not.
Yeah, I would not think, perhaps you're right, you might be right, I don't know, but I don't think the bulk of the community would believe in things like ghosts.
We don't know what people believe anymore.
No, I mean, I don't think they would. I mean, that would be my guess.
No, that would be the public stance.
Yeah,
it's cultural nostalgia. America's based on Puritan one-dimensionality, and I don't mean a judgmental, but they do not want to accept that. That archetype is circulated in the media, but now with electronic and digital life, people live in their own universes now. They are not bound by imagery.
That's another change that's coming.
Yeah, that's
McLuhan read that stuff so well about the medium is the message. And
that will affect the traditions of religion and occult or personal spiritual exploration.
But these occult traditions and the occult traditions and the mysticism have been with us for thousands of years.
Humans have been with us for thousands of years, but human language changes with new technology.
Well, apparently we understand now. We didn't. But now apparently we understand with the mitochondrial and even linguistics and so forth that humans have not been thousands, but they've been 200,000 years. So we got a date of when it began.
We only have a temporary date that's more qualified than the 50 years ago, but it will be subject to change in 10, 15 years.
Yeah, subject to change constantly.
Yeah.
That is one thing that is definite.
Yeah, there's a constant change. Well, all right, yeah. Well, then, where do we get at, and where is the place for that, this idea of God, or the idea of there being some sort of a, I think it maybe comes back to the idea of whether or not there is in the universe intelligent design.
Of course there is.
No, you say of course. There are many people who would say it's chance and necessity. Probably a lot of your evolutionary theorists would say it's just growing out of material.
A different way is intelligent design.
And then your idea of God is just some sort of a dream.
Right, but those are concepts.
People want to believe because they want to.
One part of the esoteric tradition, Harold, is to study the process of perception and understanding itself.
Uh-huh.
That's what is done in the Zen tradition or even in the Christian monastic esoteric, is that you study the process of communication and the attempt to find order as an ordering principle.
Uh-huh.
That's beyond the concepts that come up in the discussion.
Yeah, well, that would be, but you have this idea of there being some sort of an overarching.
You would study the image that you have of
that. Well, whether or not the argument would come down whether or not there is a design to the universe. Is there an intelligent design?
Well, you have to determine what a design is. Obviously, Harold, you show up as a constant design every day.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a God in those terms around you. So,
I ask you, this is, you put in a bag all the ingredients to make an automobile and you shake it up and you throw it out a million times. You're never going to get a perfectly functioning vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
But you put the ingredients to make life run and it's out and we're perfectly functioning from a grasshopper to a whale.
Mm-hmm.
There is, of course, an intelligent design that has created us, maintains us, and will continue us.
And science and art and Darwin and the evolutionists would say that you don't need some sort of an overarching oversoul or some sort of an intelligent design to that designed it and created a clock and let it run or something, that it just evolved out of the events. It just evolved. And
self-replicating. 150 years ago, they could write books and nobody could interact and argue with them.
Yeah.
In the 20th century, everybody can argue with everybody with all their modern communication, so nobody has a monopoly anymore. You're talking about an image of the universe that the telegraph and the printing press brought in 150 years ago, and it lasted 50 to 60 years, and now that Darwinian thing is not a major holder anymore.
Well,
you've got Lamarckian retrieval, you've got self-organization, you've got Varela, you've got all kinds of new imagery. And these people get to have access to the public's imagination and desire for an image immediately, and so there's transition and imagery.
Uh-huh.
Why don't we look at the process of why we can have such constant image changing? That's what we're living in today.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. It's changing really quickly.
No imagery holds for us. So you end up in the public field, people like Stephen Jay Gould representing this mythic image of the Darwin thing against maybe Lynn Margulis with the new endosymbiotic biology.
Yeah.
And there's a conflicting image of design. But what is the coherency? The communication system that allows people to communicate so chaotically.
It's Stephen Jay Gould, and that view of evolution is still the reigning paradigm scientific community.
There is no reigning paradigm.
Not anymore.
We're going to have some sort of a creationism or something.
Knowledge has grown morphogenetically. Knowledge has increasing morphogenetically. It's expanding to the point where it's just exploded wide open and keeps expanding exponentially in every direction.
It is now.
So it's really difficult to get a handle on what is actual truth. But basically, people like Dr. Raymond Moody, who was a surgeon in a medical hospital,
that's all the near life death.
Series of books, and he's had all these people that have dead and flatlined, and then they come back, and then it's been cross-checked by a number of other people who have had out-of-the-body experiences. It's starting to, you're putting two to two together. You start reading all these psychic books and everything, or even holy books, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden there's a lot of parallels and truths that are equations that are translations of the same truth.
Mm-hmm.
Like in religions, too. It's basically the golden rule. It's respect. And it's all basically saying the same thing. So,
but the important thing is that even those images, there's so much evidence in that world you just cited, but even they can't get hijacked Tom Brokaw and say, we've established things. That's the evergreens define, one we'll play later, define the second coming as a time of perpetual change.
The second coming of Mashiach, you mean?
Just second, the cliche archetype second coming, they say that means, in reference to the Christian background, that means a time of perpetual change. So we're definitely in the second coming right now. And it's the second coming of every archetype and every cliche comes back and has its 10 minutes in the sun and then disappears. It's the disappearing quicksand, mercury quality, which is the challenge to all traditions, including the occult.
Warhol gave him 15 minutes.
Right.
Only gave him 10.
But then what did he say next? He said in 15 minutes, everyone will be famous. That was his update.
Yeah. Well, I can
that happen.
What you're saying.
I feel, that the Christ is coming because Christ is here, the Christ consciousness. There's a lot of light coming to the planet, and all of a sudden our vibrations are lifted, and we're all awakening up to our divine self within, and we're recognizing higher truths that we never thought possible. Like 100 years ago, there was no electricity. And, you know, walking on the moon or telephone or television was an impossible concept.
Absolutely. Now you can plug into the...
And every 10 years or, you know, there's a revolution in technology and just it's...
Hey, guys, I'm on fire there. Hey. There's an important looking vomit from me, man. I'm just listening off. Who did I said, Stephen Jay Gould, Francisco Varela, the guy, what's her name, Lynn Margulis. I just spewed out these people from the Thompson Quadrant. Anyways, I'm roaring along there. We all should be quite impressed with my performance there. I'm there with short pants on. What do you think? Are you interested in this?
Yes, I am.
It's quite loaded with cliches from Frank, the old New Age cliches, right? Divine self, the this, that. It's interesting hearing his... Well, he wouldn't get away with any of that with Ion. Wouldn't allow any of that kind of talk.
No.
No, it's interesting to hear his rolling out the cliches of a New Ager and hearing, I haven't heard this, you know, well, that's 15 years ago. I don't think I ever listened to it again. And hearing, thinking Ion stuff as Frank is talking, I find it interesting. Right?
Yes, it's interesting to hear when you heard his statements, bouncing it off what Ion is told us so far. It's
right.
You see that it's really a heavy cliché. It really means nothing now at all.
That's right. After Ion, I'm listening to this. Wow, Ion is so different from those Thompson Quadrant kind of prevalent everywhere thoughts. And, you know, even Marion Williams, even Hillary Clinton probably says them during her campaigning.
Yeah.
But Ion, just think of what, you know, Harold said, we know all about the DNA now. This is good. This is a good thing to realize how different Ion is and what's happened. We're on another dimension here.
Also how Ion has changed our view of those words, just that whole new age fluff.
That's right. That's what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking about what Ion would say to all that, all the fluff. It's evoking what Ion is, how different Ion is. So you're into this. Let's hear some more. Okay?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Bert, you're here for another 2 hours? You're here till 3:30, 4? Yeah. Okay, good.
4.
Right. And we only got... There's just Eliza, who sounds like she's asleep, and Jean's asleep, so it's just you and me, Bert. I think that's all right now. But that's enough. Wherever two are gathered in my name, there the church is. Okay, here's Frankenbach.
And also an awareness, a spirituality. Mankind is evolving as a species.
Spirituality's been there for 1,000 years. So now you say, because we got all this technology, the hard-won science, we've won this knowledge, we got this knowledge, and people have had to accept things on faith in the past and some Shiva or some sort of thing like that. They've got all these religious traditions and things that they had to deal with because they were ignorant. Now we're not ignorant. Now that we're becoming not ignorant,
no, we're not ignorant in that limited way.
We're going to go back
to the invisible effects of that medium back then. We're now ignorant of the medium today.
The technology and material evolution has nothing to do with anything except burden us down, actually. I'm talking about our spiritual awakening.
Yeah, well,
All this modern mechanical stuff is garbage that's burdening our spiritual
life.
It's not garbage.
I'm talking about opening up our third eye.
Well, we've had the third eye since Buddha.
Right.
For 2,500 years, we've had these systems. They're there, and you can meditate on the lotus, and you can do all.
And they've all failed.
And now,
there have been gurus who've been able to meditate for weeks on end, and people who control their body and their system for thousands of years. There are masters.
Well, they have been able to do that now. But is it now, where in a systems way, we're going through in the evolution of universal consciousness? We're going. There was a consciousness before there was Homo sapiens sapiens.
There's also a Pleistocene. Every system has 15 minutes in the sun now. Every system is reduced to a soundbite.
That's a spiritual condition
in the most esoteric, where nobody can hold the controls anymore.
Wait a minute. There might be a synergistic resonance that has some sort of a consistency of direction in universe or something.
You need that?
Well, I don't know, maybe.
But is that your image of intelligent design?
The point is we've had that thing and we've gone through, now we've now 200,000 years. Now we are coming to the end of the human experience.
You can't say when now
not at
is.
All. We're not coming to,
can't even know we're coming to
the, not the end of human experience, but to come to an end of a phase of our ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
We're finally waking up to ourselves and,
to those traditions that were clouded in ignorance.
Well, then,
we have new traditions evolving.
Now you're going to say you're going to invoke the traditional ignorant systems which were called spiritual because we didn't have the knowledge of what the reality was. We didn't know electricity. We didn't know.
No, we had experiences.
We didn't have this.
We had mythic systems
we had to live with, and they're all kinds. They're all over the world.
Yeah.
Shamans doing smoke-filled rooms and all kinds of things
like that.
And they have all this kind of stuff. Now we get the knowledge of what it is, so we can take control. McLuhan one time said, we're going to go through the tribal dance. We're going to be wide awake.
Yeah.
We're going to know what it is.
He did not want us to stay in the tribal dance.
And now the spiritual tradition wants us to go back and retrieve.
Because we don't know what time it is, rather than
we can't,
Harold, you have
control.
We got your point, but you have to respond. Because we don't know what time it is, then all times can happen. So we have retrievals of all traditions.
Mm-hmm.
But the hidden medium of our time, the hidden spiritual condition, is that none of them can dominate the situation.
Well,
so we're all screaming for funding. So the real control is economic, and then we could bring in Kelso.
Well, I agree with that. The Kelso thing.
Okay, so where's spirituality and money?
Well, then go back.
Money is very spiritual. It holds the world together in this frustrated state.
Yeah.
Do we come here, reincarnate, to experience frustration? Then we need to keep the money system. If we don't want to experience frustration, and the universe wants to evolve in a newer condition, then we're going to break through the money thing.
Yeah.
Will that create a new problem for us? These are the ongoing spiritual dimensions.
Well, I know over the long haul, in fact, we're going to try and get a little tape in with one of the authentic people that some people, the people who are concerned with things spiritual had. I mean, there was Edgar Cayce, seemed to have a great deal of resonance and so forth among
the people.
He was healing and he had great things. And another one was this Jane Roberts. I got a little tape we did with her way back in 74, and she channeled Seth.
Right.
And
she was one of the first original breakthrough channelers. Yeah.
So you're trying to separate the authentic ones, the wheat from the chaff, and she was one. So we got a little tape in the Evergreens, perhaps another kind of thing. But if you go in there, and then if you get into the realm of the people who are trying to, you got a Bucky Fuller, and Bucky Fuller used to try and look about, and he postulated an a priori mysterious design to the structure of universal mind. He posited the universal mind. But that it was a series of hierarchical resonances, and it was synergies, the behavior of systems unpredicted by the sum of the parts. So there's something resonatingly more than what you can predict from the system in which you are, into which you are arriving.
Right. And now that we have
machines, and
then you've got the situation where machines have come alive, and you have the android me.
Correct.
That is causing a crisis for all new age retrievals.
That's growing out of the material world of technology. That's like the new sphere of
Jardine.
And we're growing toward.
If you read Eric Davis' Technosis, runs through Tesla, Edison, they all use mediums to be for inspiration in their technology, in their inventions.
Is that true?
And I'll tell you a
Fuller
secret.
Didn't.
Every corporation in America, all the main ones over the last 200 years, all were based on astrological foundations.
Well, that's really something.
Yeah, that's, you know,
that's really something.
Yeah. They founded themselves on astrological information.
Well, that's what made Reagan a popular president. He did everything by the book, you know.
Yeah, but then when I know, I did a program once with a guy, Jane Roberts. Same year, Jane Roberts sent me a Christmas card, and also Arnold Hutchnecker, who was William. Used to do programs about consciousness. Used to blap it over into psychology.
Yeah.
Because that's sort of, in a sense, looking at the soul. And
what was his name?
Hutchnecker.
Oh, okay.
And he was Richard Nixon's psychiatrist.
Well, there
that
you
was
go.
Into the realm of the occult. That was a political leader.
Look at Nancy Reagan.
Reagan. And
let me give you an anecdote
and then
here
got,
about
you
Nancy.
You got Hillary Clinton channeling Eleanor.
She denies.
That
but,
kind of stuff. Yeah. And when they bring that up in the real world, they have to bury it.
That's the machine. That's the android meme.
Yeah.
Imitating humans who always want to be stubborn and filthy.
So those people, those kind
of
things should
that is
be
not,
out.
Many
of course.
They see it as
we should be
quackery.
Learning astrology and psychic sciences in grade school, for God's
sake. And
God
we can
sakes.
Learn them. Well, let's not even bother with grade school. It's
well,
just free the kids from school. Let them use the internet and give them guaranteed income for at least 20 years, and then you can have a lot of education.
Oh, boy, let the kid run wild with his genius.
Yeah.
You know,
the kids that...
Because an android meme will make sure that he can't use his genius when he gets out, and then he's got to deal with that spiritual problem.
You know, a typical third grader in Switzerland knows French and German and Italian.
Right.
You know, as a matter of course.
You'll be having systems that will translate, machine systems, and the technology is going to be taking over a great deal of the conscious kind of things that we've been doing. They're taking over.
Let's go to Jane.
They have...
So we can have time for...
Yeah, you're right. Okay, yeah, we could talk about that, but what a base to
the tape.
Fuller was... Fuller.
Go to the tape. Give him an example of what we're talking about.
Okay, we talk about it. There was one, Jane Roberts,
yes.
And I, in 74, old tape. We'll play it
for a
few minutes. And it's her talking with her husband, Robert Butts. And Robert, and she had this experience, and it's Jane talking first, just talking like
right.
She was really nice. She had a great sense of humor.
And then
really
she changes?
And then it does go, it's a little blippy and everything, and it's bad, grainy. And then she does go into what they call the trance state, and Seth comes through.
Okay,
and
let's hear it.
So
go ahead.
This is the only tape of her in the Seth state, so we'll play.
Congratulations for making the tape, Harold.
You're
the only one who
Jane
has it.
Jane Roberts was my friend. We were friends. I'd really like
good.
Jane Roberts, but what was going on, I don't understand.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, let's play that tape now then, please. If you can...
Let spirit in.
Well, they're trying to get this.
So there was this Anthony, Seth, made himself available. Maybe you could tell them a little bit about Seth State or Seth Session.
Well, after the board session stopped,
because
they did very quickly, I just began speaking the words automatically for Seth without knowing what I was saying until I came out of trance. There was no training per se for this. No self-hypnosis, nothing, it just happened. Although I did give consent. That is, had I not wanted to do it, it wouldn't have happened.
Okay,
but I was
right.
So curious, I wanted to know what was happening. In the beginning, I paced the floor constantly in trance. I refused to sit down. Because I had read about Casey, and he lay down on the couch, and I thought, no, not for me, I'm not going to, you know, and I figured that if I didn't like what was going on, I could run, which was silly, because I was the one that was between it.
Yeah.
And then it took, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 years before I sat down, before I then would close my eyes.
Uh-huh.
And then there was a period where I closed my eyes and never opened them, and then where all of a sudden... I opened them, but I was in a deeper, of course, kind of trance than I had been before that transition. The one point on reincarnation I wanted to mention, though, too, and
it's
Seth.
A lot covered there. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, was that one of my first short stories was on reincarnation.
Uh-huh.
And I thought as an idea or a concept, it was great. I loved to play around with it. But when this starts happening, when, say, magic becomes real, and all of a sudden you're told, well, you had this kind of life, or you did this, or this is a fact, then I bombed. Because it was one thing for me to play around with the concept and think, well, I go for it, or I don't, or what.
Yeah.
And another to accept it. It's a definite fact of existence.
Yeah.
And also, I don't like and never have, and Seth doesn't either, the idea of karma, as it's been spoken about so much, the idea of guilt where people believe, for example, that they're suffering in this life because of a karma that they have in a past life. I don't believe in that kind of a connection.
You don't,
And also I believe that all time happens at once.
Well, thank you. Extremely good information. And I would like to inform the viewing audience that Jane and Robin have very, very kindly invited us to be present at a meeting and class in which possibly Seth will come through. And we'll see if we can maybe in the background get some of that for the audience.
A hectic affair.
Fantastic individuality. And whenever any beliefs, even our own, blind you to that, you have lost. Whenever you relate to someone as simply a belief, or you get your back up and you don't see the reality, then we've won.
Jane, I had an experience this week. I told my husband,
"We'll bring you closer to people. It will not divide you. If it divides you, that is not what it is." I bid you good evening. And understand, your responses to our friend here for when he speaks, you fear the vocabulary, spiritual biology within your being, and it speaks, or when you wiggle your foot, that is also a highly biological nature to your spirituality. Your atoms and your molecules and your cells know themselves to be part of all that is. They do not question. That does not mean that there is anything wrong with questioning. That I say to you that you are blessed because you are that your spirituality is known through the glories of your flesh, and that your flesh becomes more spiritual because of its existence through the seasons and its experience with the time that you know and recognize. You form your own reality. I say this to you each week. Yet through your own dream experiences, and through the suggestions that I will give you, that I hope that you will follow, you will be able to discover this for yourselves. For I hope to be able to show you the different levels of consciousness in which you dwell. Again, as I have said before, you are indeed given the gift of the gods. You form your reality. What better gift could be given to you? How then could you imagine that you began this present excursion into this current life already damned, flawed, or forsaken? If each of you would simply listen in the quiet of your own mind to the music of your own cells, you would know that the atoms within you speak with a joyful exaltation. Those atoms and the molecules, luckily, have not read many of the books that you have read, and they do not read your newspapers. They know that they are blessed because they are. They know if some of you are more serious people will forgive me, and I close my eyes so as not to embarrass you. They know that existence is fun. They realize that fun is a good and joyful, and that the gods are playing.
All right, so that's Jane. I went on and everything. She was
Thank you.
Trance state. There aren't many so she's one like that who's touching into another level of consciousness. And apparently people who understand this stuff said that the information that came through had great validity.
Well, that's,
so that's one test
that's
by which
bold.
We can judge it.
Oh, all bold. Information okay. has validity. I mean, I'm not denying she's in trance. She's channeling something, maybe. But even their information, it might have been interesting in 1974, but even then, if you were quite aware of a human being and savvy with media, those are puny platitudes, atoms and molecules. Why is she talking about gluons and quarks and the language of physics in 1974?
Well, that's a good question.
I mean, these are cliches.
Yeah, they
I'm
are.
Not
well,
putting
not,
down
not,
what she
not,
is, not, but it's not,
less,
no wonder it never takes, hey, that couldn't stop the world, what's going on there.
Yeah, much less Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's a thing called spiritualism. It's the National Council of Spiritualist Churches all
yes.
across the country. People
right.
gather and do mediumship. And channeling and billet reading, and it's a very typical thing nowadays.
It is.
Back
right?
then in the early 70s, it was very, you know, brand new.
It's odd.
But since the Fox sisters were called in the White House by Abraham Lincoln as mediums,
right.
their spiritualism has been a movement in this country and accepted. And Houdini was famous for trying to.
He was. And he had that Annabelle. He was going to talk to her from death. He was going to talk to his wife.
But he made a life process of trying to, you know, divide, you know, look. The hoaxes versus the real ones.
That's what we're trying to do is to,
well,
you know, he tried to show the hoaxes where they appeared because he knew the real thing. That's what, in a sense,
but nowadays, since spirit is manifesting and there's been so many breakthroughs and the light and the frequency of the planet is lifting and people are waking up. It's
well, how
happening
do you,
all
how do you
over.
But you gotta,
the wheat from the shaft.
Yeah. You gotta change
how do
your
you
language.
Separate all
yeah.
the nonsense.
In a leisure society,
you
more
understand?
People have times to re, chances and time to replay past. It's a repertory of past activity, which was put out public, put out as a public phenomenon in the Victorian and print Gutenberg Christian era, but happened before and in other cultures that weren't literate. So it's not that spirituality is waking. The tradition of spirituality that phenomenon represents, which is a type
Jane Robert, you
yeah,
mean? Yeah.
Which is a type of spiritual activity that has a renaissance and has a baroque spiral of people involvement because we have time and people can engage it.
Yeah,
but it doesn't mean that it's spiritual now.
Well, what do you mean?
Doesn't mean that it relates to
again, I'm on fire. I'm not going to have it. I got higher standards. I'm ready for something better because I declared the inadequacy of Seth that Ion came forth.
Yes, you're burning down the house with that, Bob. You even talked about when they were talking about atoms and molecules. You said, why don't we talk about gluons and quarks?
Quarks. Yeah, these old cliches, atoms and molecules. Quarks were, that's normal language in 74, but I like my point there. There's a bunch of cliche platitudes, because I know that the Evereans are better than that, and so I'm pushing towards that, but also just the words on their own level. Now that I sort of have different ways of looking at it from Ion, thanks for, by Ion, thanks to Ion, I'm declaring there, I'm not happy with the standard here, is what I'm doing, you know? This ain't what we need. We need something new. I knew what was coming. I knew. I didn't know. Something new me. My fingernail knew. I was channeling my fingernail. Fingernail says, let us, Bob, step aside, Bob, but we're going to tell Harold what's up. And I did it. And Frank doesn't know what to do. I'm like a loose cannon, as usual. I'm there, the broke spiral, the terms I'm using. As if everybody knows it. Well, yeah, we got a broke spiral, blah, blah, blah. Broke, A Baroque, he just stopped the tape. What did he say? Baroque spiral. Quoting my chart. Awesome. This is actually pretty relevant tonight. It's a good show or a good thing to play this right now. So let's hear a little bit more here. It's almost finished.
Reality.
Yeah. I mean, it's a breakthrough at the time.
Yeah.
But you know, why you say, hey, just divide the wheat from the chaff is what resonates to you, what sounds good in your heart. When people get readings, and oftentimes a psychic will say, does this make sense to you? Because they'll just spit out things that don't make sense
right,
to them.
Right,
and but they get these impressions
from
the spirit. If it works, it works.
Oh, what about people who make a thing? Remember when Benjamin Krem came? He was following Alice Bailey. Hmm. And he had this thing that the Moshiach, or the Messiah, was going to appear. In fact, he was taken incarnate form, and it was off Alice Bailey, the Masters of Wisdom, the Maitreya. Was going to appear in person.
Out of London.
And he was in London, and you went.
Always
I know a
London.
Bunch of us got
see,
together.
The royal families have been into this stuff. The oligarchy.
Well, you're trying
I agree with Lynn LaRouche that there is a paradigm shift that's happening due to the technologies, and historical rulers and oligarchies are trying to hijack with the archetype and cliche of spirituality, and it always comes out of London. Basking in this stuff.
That's
because it is was traditional from Francis Bacon on, the Royal Society in Newton was based on occult activity.
Yeah, but Benjamin
this is what Francis Yates has shown in her books.
Yeah, okay.
George Washington was a Mason, and they made the
even the Masons, the royal family doesn't have any control anymore. Nobody has control.
Wait a minute. The Illuminati and the secret government and the
Member of it, and I'm here to tell you
The New World Order.
I was the one who brought a lot of that in, and we've done a whole session. I don't want to get distracted.
Yeah.
But I will tell you what helped me get away from the Illuminati and help to dissolve it was the next medium you're going to play. Now, this is a modern medium.
Okay, yeah,
this is the most advanced state of mediumship. This is not people sitting around. This is
big league
up-to-date, postmodern, Android meme, tuned into the Android meme, battling with the Android meme, which is the simulated Illuminati.
Mm-hmm.
And what you have here is 6,500 and 7,000 entities inside one person's brain, or head or skull or etheric body, whatever term you want to say, they take over his voice and his consciousness, and then you can talk for an hour, always an hour, because they shut down the body, and it's very close to death for Michael to be able to allow this to happen.
This is Michael Blake Reed.
Michael Blake Reed. So you're going to hear us and a friend of mine interviewing the Evergreens, where they tell us the history of mushrooms and psychedelics in history, and we will get the facts. Now, granted, it's just English, it's one vocal medium, it's limited compared to the mixed corporate media we live in, but this medium, over my 75 times with them...
You've done it 75 times. Well, he's channeled these people.
And they give out information. A lot of it's come true. But the point is they can tell us accurately about our history.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to show you the speed of intelligence in modern mediumship compared to the slower, exaggerated type of 30 years ago.
So he's a Moore's Law medium.
That's right. This is an improvement on the tradition.
And that's coming. And we were going to do a piece with him and a contact with him. He was coming, but unfortunately there was a problem with his family.
You'll
so
be
we'll
here
down
in the spring.
The line and That's what led us to do this program.
Right.
So we have an audio tape, so they'll just keep the camera on us, and we'll play the audio tape with this.
And it's done over the phone. We are in New York, and the medium is in British Columbia.
And he's coming with the Evergreens.
Right. He's out, and we're talking with the Evergreens through the phone.
Okay. Let's run that audio tape, then, and we'll just listen here. Contemplate the candle. You can play that out here, please.
Okay, go ahead.
Hello.
Greetings.
We would like to run through a broad historic perspective on the beginning use of hallucinogenic psychedelic chemicals in spiritual and other contexts. And we would like to begin by asking when the significance of these herbs, mushrooms, and so forth, was first understood.
As to the medical side or as to the effect of them? But realize that as a medicine, various hallucinogens, because of other properties within them, have been part and parcel of an herbal approach to disease and injury, in that certain of certain of those that do have also hallucinogenic properties were used before the time of Moses as that which would be useful into palliative care. So these sides were well known, and that there was extensive cultivation of these for medicinal purposes. That they were used in religious ceremonies was not an offshoot of medicine, but to see the use of the substance for the side effects that it exhibited. That a person, and this oft times happened, that a person who would be and let us be blunt, a person who would be mentally ill would be considered oft times God struck, and that certain of the palliative effects of a hallucinogen would be used to quieten such an individual, or to make that individual more cognizant, or in certain dosages would make that person then an instrument. You see?
So, how soon did humans, cultures start the use of this, discover herbs and medicine?
At the time of Homo erectus, before sapiens, it was well known, not easily passed on, but it was, from generation to generation, that if this particular plant were eaten or used as a complement for something else, then there would be a certain predictable effect. Oft times that when there were the need for extra energy or stamina, endurance, these things, these were well known.
So in the Neanderthal culture.
Well, that's really interesting. That's really interesting. So I hope we've been picking this up. And that was Michael Reed on the telephone, and he was channeling.
He's asleep.
He was in a trance. He was asleep when he was talking to you. And he was channeling, was he channeling the voice of a particular person?
No.
Or was that him talking? Or he is
His
able
vocal
to...
cords
yes.
are activated by the 7,000 entities called the O-rings that come inside his physical structure, whatever
yeah.
that is,
uh-huh.
and they move his vocal cords.
Okay.
He's asleep.
Yeah, but
so they are talking.
But
it's
you
his
could
voice.
Be, you could be, from what I've talked to you, and we were at a thing last night, two of us, it was very interesting, and so there's a lot to this, that you could have said, all right, there is Mr. Winston Churchill, we would like to get the words of Mr. Winston Churchill,
yes,
and Mr. Winston Churchill, you will be talking to Winston Churchill through this man.
Right, the personality
now, was
of
he
Winston.
Talking to somebody from the past when you were
no.
speaking then?
We were speaking to whatever section of the Evergreens, of the 7,000 entities, that is competent to explain the history of psychedelics.
Well,
now, that would be like maybe 25 of these entities, and I don't know who they are.
Yeah.
It was a general agreed statement from the Evergreens, but maybe, as Michael, the medium, has explained to us in a public interview, it is a group, a knowledge collective on that area of knowledge.
But it would have been possible to have gotten somebody from history that has passed the spirit.
Well, I've done
still
it many
there,
times. I've done
will,
panels.
And they will talk in his voice, but you're talking to, say, Winston
yes,
Churchill.
Yes.
Or
yes.
Jesus.
Yes. The Evergreens will say Winston Churchill says this and this and that.
And you sense, and you've done this 70 times with him
yes.
in these hour-long sessions,
yes.
and your sense is that there is
I've had much confirmation.
Legitimacy
oh,
to what
yes.
is being said.
I have no problem.
And you can verify certain things about, you could talk to somebody in your family, verify something that only you would know
yes.
and come through.
Yeah. See,
it's a phenomenon that's pretty strange.
It's a tool I use. I do not find it a problem
yeah.
to believe them.
Yeah.
But I find it very interesting to relate the usefulness of that information to this mixed corporate world we live in.
Yeah. What about
to mention that here in New York City about 10 years ago, for many years, there was a famous deep trance channel, Alex Murray. and also Gloria Grayson that would go, you know, into deep trance after a round of prayers.
That's
and then
what
they
this
come
fellow's
out,
doing, yeah.
And with, but with different historical figures. Oftentimes they weren't famous, but many times they were.
Uh-huh.
And they would say greetings, and they would speak in their accent, and they would have their vocabulary, and it was very interesting to hold conversations with historical figures from the past.
Mm.
Now, whether or not you believe it, I don't know. I used to audio tape the sessions and take many notes, and I'm finally definitely convinced that why not? Have lived in the past, and spirits want to continue communicating with us here in the present.
That's interesting. You're convinced of that. More and more people are. And then it would be good if some of these, it seems to me, that my thing, if some of these people could be submitted to some sort of a test. Psychological.
Yes.
There was a Colossus. There was the Association of Psychic Research or something. There was a scientific
out of London.
And also in New York. And Colossus was the director of it. And so, but the way to channel to deal with these things and phenomena, you can measure with oscilloscopes or something. You can deal with it, the reality, rather than having it done. I know when Benjamin Krem said the Mashiach was coming, and we had a group of people that were really like piratical, conscious warriors, and if anybody were the flag of Moshiach went up, they would descend on that place, and he had better have it together,
because
they really had a lot of training in terms of recognizing what's right and wrong.
Yeah, right.
We should have like a Moshiach squad or something, where they would descend upon something to get rid of the
charlatans.
Is it important to get rid of the charlatans, or should we allow the charlatans
to
frolic?
With all due respect,
in order to let the real come
through? Well, there's freedom of expression.
Yeah.
Harold,
well,
I think that you're focusing on the process and rather the content.
Perhaps.
It's important that the message that be delivered, even if they are from people that are, you know, faking their mediumship, is the message resonating to a good level? Is it helping people? That's basically the main thing. Because everyone is a filter, even like Neil Donald Walsh in the Conversations with God, which is a popular book series now. He says, you know, it has to come through him as the filter. No medium is perfectly clear channel of God or spirit world.
Uh-huh.
It has to come through the body of someone on the planet Earth.
Well, I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. It seems to me it would be good to get, if you're thinking about, like, in a systems way, like if you're thinking about the whole planet is going through a thing, it's going to involve everybody, it's not just a few. If you're thinking bodhisattva, everybody, or something on that order, then this phenomena, if this is correct, it's extremely important. And those things that stand in the way of people being able to accept it, it would be well to separate the wheat from the chaff.
We've heard that story 100 times.
Find out and have tests for those that are just making money or think they're doing something or they're amateurs. They don't know what they're doing.
But there's no switchboard.
And get the real one.
There's even less possibility of a switchboard today. And you're missing the nature of our society.
Okay,
information is obsolete today.
What do you mean information is obsolete? I don't know what that means.
We do not know which expression or artistic or method is valid.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much.
Uh-huh.
And people watch all kinds of opinions and images every day on TV. They don't say, oh, I shouldn't have watched that.
No, but there are ways of doing
that. That's why it's opened up into a state of chaos.
All the more important.
Yeah.
No, but
so,
we're not in chaos.
Yes, we are.
Now,
you're using a certain meaning of chaos, and I'm playing with your image of chaos.
Yeah. Well,
so let's be aware of how we communicate with
chaos. The second law of thermodynamics say all systems, closed systems, move to chaos.
They don't agree with that anymore.
The
there's all kinds of contradictions over that
And that
now.
The biological
You ever
process,
go to a journal, go on a net line, a chat line, a bunch of physicists, and see how they argue among themselves?
Well, it's
they never do that when they present a public face, but that's when they become the meme, the archetype. So you're saying spirituality has to find a way to present its face.
Right.
It doesn't
okay.
have to present a face. No, I'm saying that's what he wants. That's what he's asking. I'm not for that.
And if we do have a filter, a channel that's perfectly clear and it's proven, then what? He becomes a demigod.
That's a thing that's not necessarily true. You're just looking for something that's authentic. You know,
it's harder to find that.
Of them are authentic.
Mm-hmm. The majority, you think the majority of these people going around saying, I'll give you a psychic reading $20
No, no, these psychics are,
but they're all over the
money
place.
To burn candles are obviously fakes.
Yeah. So I'm saying they should be separated out from if there
well,
is.
You can tell like that.
Because that kind of thing.
You're intelligent enough, you're discerning enough.
That kind of thing gives a bad name to those that really are real. And where's the Mashiach squad? Where's the Mashiach, the squad?
Where's the media ecology squad? Why don't we turn off television for 6 weeks?
Well, there are. Well, I mean, I know we were at a thing last night with some people and we're talking about, You know, talking about Norbert Wiener, who was a great mathematician, cyberneticist, and he said information overload. You have information overload within a system, but information overload permits pattern recognition.
Right, so that's the benefits of chaos. No, I'm responding to what you said so far.
It allows pattern recognition between subsets of other systems at another level.
Yeah.
So that's good. That's legitimate. Somebody,
well, we don't know if it's good. It's a fact. No, but it's not necessarily good. It's
but
a
I
fact.
Don't like your idea, of, if I may, just sort of give in to the idea of chaos. There is not.
No, I don't mean chaos the way you mean it. What you just, the order in chaos. There's order in chaos.
Well, there is.
Remember, the word author comes from the word awe, A-W-E.
Yeah.
We've got a problem of what creates awe. Mm-hmm. And even the intelligent design of the universe can create awe, which is a form of hypnosis.
Well, the intelligent design of the universe, it's just, I don't think that it's wrong that the people who are going to stand up and be spiritual, they have somebody, they should be able to be put to some sort of a test.
So everybody
and anybody
tested.
Who raises the flag of comprehensive understanding, intellectual,
I'm willing to be put to a test.
But then there should be a Mashiach squad. Let's say that's
Bring
Mashiach.
Bring them on.
That's Mashiach. That's like a comprehensive understanding and a systems way of the evolution of universal consciousness in some new way.
Well, shall we start it? Why don't we?
Well, you're part of it.
We will do it.
If you've got a squad or a committee judging, then you judge. The Bible says, just like you should not be judged. You have the direct path to God within you. Everyone has their own personal
And my dog has
the cross.
That.
Yeah.
Everyone. So that there is no quality standards at all to be considered. There is no Mashiach. There is no special.
There's a lot of them.
Buckminster Fuller had it more together than the schlep that stands on the corner and says poetry. There are some people have it more together. Michelangelo had it more together.
Yes, but a minority of people have read Buckminster Fuller. Yeah. Hardly anyone really knows him.
No, they do.
He's above the normal
but it does.
Carl London's calling. London says, no, we're not going to let Bucky on there.
Yeah.
We're going to let Tom Brokaw dominate.
Well,
so there's power involved in knowledge. The Mashiach squad involves power.
No, Mashiach.
Whatever team, it's a battle of the teams of power and who's going to say what's real.
Well,
that's an ongoing drama of cognition and humanity.
Yeah, but you give in because we're at a time of qualitative we're closing quotes in the human experience. We're coming into a new relationship, the evolution of universal consciousness, transcendent, to what we've been throughout the human experience. We're coming to a new relationship to universal
consciousness. That's a given.
And it's important that we know who the important people are and separate them out from all the
I agree, but we aren't having
intellectually or spiritually.
So how are we going to enforce this Harold Hudson Channer mandate? How are we going to enforce it? How are we going to implement it?
Well, I was just asking.
You're asking me?
I'm asking this as far as I am interested in the things as far as intellectual is concerned. Where do you get who are the people? I'm sorry, Buckminster Fuller and Marshall McLuhan are more knowledgeable than a lot of people that think they are.
And Louis Kelso
and some others. There are some people.
And you've been
more
talking this 30 years.
Intellectually.
And have they got a high rise?
And in the realm of the spiritual, or in the realm of that kind of consciousness.
I'd add Michael Blake Reed.
You would say Michael Blake Reed.
Okay, I'll go
publish that.
Joyce Brown with this new book. And there's different books that you either resonate to or you don't.
Culture,
and it works for you or you don't.
Right,
that's your criteria. That's
Are some psychics better than others?
Absolutely.
Yes, they are. What is the criteria by which you determine which are the ones that are better?
Someone is so much better.
By some criteria.
If I'm talking to, Seth, he's slow.
She was very good.
Very good. But he's slow. It would take too long.
She was good for the time.
No. Good for all time.
Well, no, a few platitudes. I say we've transitioned already.
Well, so they tell me.
We are no longer human, we now have access to the astral plane, the biggest high-tech quality, and that's the Evergreens.
Mm-hmm.
So they're good. They're fast. They're quick. They're rapid.
Yeah.
They're the Mashiach team.
There's a lot of extraterrestrials on the planet Earth visiting
us. Here we go with extraterrestrials.
Yeah,
tie-in with extraterrestrials? That's like the flying saucers and things?
We are extraterrestrial on this medium.
Yeah.
We are not in our bodies. We are broadcasting all over the place.
Right,
and if the satellite so we are extraterrestrial now.
All right, if there's an extraterrestrial, I think there should be an extraterrestrial squad. There should be somebody, and a Mashiach squad, particularly in the realm of spirit, descend on that sucker who said he's got it together, right?
Yeah.
And descend on him and really I don't mean the fancy white gown. I mean tough pirates.
Honest
son of
with people of integrity.
Right, and really descend on it. Put him to the test.
Well, that's happening every day when the media is monitoring people on polls.
Yeah.
The polls guys, they're trying to find out what's real.
Yeah, right.
The Big Brother now is the Nielsen's rating.
Yeah.
So we've got millions of Mashiach squads.
Mashiach.
Mashiach, never heard the word before. Mashiach
is the Messiah.
Good.
That's the Mashiach.
Yeah, I've only been in New York for a short
time. That's Alice Bailey.
Anyways, the Mashiach. The Lord, the Master.
You're whacking out. You're interrupting.
No, the Mashiach Squad is advertising in Poltergeist.
Mm.
Now, they run the show, and it's hard to get these amateur Mashiach Squads
in. Well, we should be able to get the word from the Maitreya himself. The Master of Wisdom.
Oh, the Master of Wisdom are coming through in leaps and bounds all over.
No, the master of the masters of wisdom. There's one, Maitreya. He is
Jesus, that's me.
Or the Buddha.
Remember, I claim I'm the only one who knows what's going on.
Yeah.
If we want to end this program with an authority, let's ask me, because I am the ultimate authority with
them. All right, that's good. But there should be places where
and the answer is, the medium is the message.
People.
Oh, what a multi-level statement that is.
All right,
the medium
you.
Is the massage, and the message, the massage, and the message.
All right.
Ultimately, four levels of exegesis. I've got the Christian background down, and I say we have them right here. You heard him, Michael
shall
Blake
go,
Reed.
Shall we go?
And then you listen to my radio show, then I'll be better than Harold.
Yeah.
His Harold show is finished. It's over. He's on the last show. He's lost his credibility.
Yeah.
He's brought in this stuff. I will be on MNN in 2 weeks.
Thank goodness we found him, right? Okay. It's a pleasure to welcome you to the program. It's your pleasure to have Michael Strada, Frank Craven, and Bob Dobbs here talking about all kinds of matters of great concern. And I do think there should be squads of people who will be able to set these standards high. Set the bar high. Set the higher bar high for the people that have a conscious...